This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lover to all of our Samoan listeners and welcome to everyone to Nijan Footy, the go-to place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me, he is back, my Cook Island Koi, Tinira Arona. It's great to see you, my friend.
Kia ora, Sammy. Kia ora to all our listeners. Jesus, been a busy week. Been out there getting the job done. Seen a few NRL clubs. We're over at Cronulla Sharks, Parramatta Eels. Flew up to Townsville, caught up with Valentine Holmes and the Cowboys.
You love a name drop on your tours, don't you?
Hey, Val's been here.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying, but it's like you're sipping coffees, lattes.
No. Yeah. We're out there educating the players. But the one thing I do want to note is I know we get to see the players 1 to 17 each week, but when I go into the clubs, I get to see the whole squads, and geez, there's a plenty of Pacifica representation, a lot of young talent coming through as well, and I love going in there and presenting to the boys because they also get to see another Pacifica player that's not a, sorry, Pacifica representative that's not a rugby league player.
Any future stars there that you notice? Like, is there a name that we should be looking out for in the future?
Well, funny you say that. I caught up with our good friend, PNG star Rob Darby up at Townsville, and Helam Luki. Had a good chat with him. The Samoan player, he has a bright, bright future ahead of him. He's playing some good footy, but geez, you know when you stand next to them and you're looking up, like, damn.
You look up to a lot of people. You're pretty
short. Great physique. Yeah, well, I used to, as long as I win the ground, man, yeah, in the game. Anyways, been a busy, busy week. We've got a huge show ahead. We've got Sala Tonga Tuki, who will be joining us, hopefully, today.
And surely not. She won't let us down 4 weeks in a row. No
she'll
way.
She'll cover all the NRLW news, and then we'll catch up with Totai Kefu, who will keep us up to date with all the rugby union news. And a quick shout-out to my sons, who turned 14 years old yesterday.
Oh, the twins. Happy birthday to the boys.
Hey, guys. I'm Alan Alalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, big Alan. Hopefully they can get the chocolates this week in Perth. But as always, we'll be wrapping up the week with last night's game in the rugby league. What a blockbuster that was, T.
Yes, round 24 kicked off last night. First place taking on second in Penrith at the foot of the mountains, and the Storm getting the job done, winning this game 24-22 over the Panthers. Look, a very, very high quality game. I thought that it lived up to its expectations. We've seen Tongan player for the Melbourne Storm, Ali Katoa, scoring 2 tries. Mate, he's had a great season. And
how many tries has that guy scored? It feels like we've always...
I think he scored his 10th last night, it was.
Wow, in the back row.
2 tries. And then we also seen a nice grubber in from Jerome Luai, where Samoan representative Isaac Tungwa has just sprinted and chased it, scored the try just before the ball has gone dead.
16 out, last play. To'o goes right to Luai, puts in a stab kick. The ball in the in-goal area. Oh, coming through is Tungwa! He got there to score a try ahead of Howarth. Wow, what a kick, what a chase. And Isaac Tungo gets the try.
You know, watching that game, T, two of the best teams in the competition going at it. Did you notice any subtle differences in the way they play? Because from a punter, I'm just watching, looks this, like the same style, same play. And it was just a matter of who could execute for the full 80. But did you notice anything different between the two sides?
Yeah, I think Storm got off to a really, really good start. You know, they got out to that 10-0 lead, and then it was cool to see Panthers readjust a bit of their game, and I thought they went to plan B where they played a little bit more width. You know, you usually see them build pressure coming off the back fence. You send Brian To'o outside backs are taking them tough carries, but it seemed like the Melbourne Storm defensive line was really tight, just and then their line speed, so they're winning a lot of rucks. So they started playing with a bit of width and then trying to create that quick play of the ball. And then they ended up getting up, evening the score 10-all you know, once they got to that plan B. So it was cool to see that they can adjust and they don't just stick to the same style. But, geez, these two will go a long way into the finals and I'm sure we'll see them meet again this season. Speaking of the game, big Nelson Asofa Solomona, he got sent off for 10, a high shot over Dane Laurie, but he got it was friendly fire as well, where he's caught Cameron Munster straight in the nose with a swinging arm. So I think he might have got 10 for swinging for the friendly fire, I think.
He didn't even look phased either, like no apology or anything, just does it and just walks off.
I think he was a bit confused of him, like what happened? He goes, man, did I just take out our star player? But the big news in this game, one of, if not the best player in the NRL, Nathan Cleary, goes down with a shoulder injury. It'll be interesting to see where that lands, whether it's a minor injury or something that might keep him out for the rest of the year. So we'll stay up to date with that one. But a huge game. Congratulations to the Melbourne Storm getting up, and they're most likely favourites to take the minor premiers this year. Now, looking forward to the rest of the weekend. I've got a couple games for you that I'm looking forward to watching. So the Bulldogs at fifth place take on the Dolphins in eighth place on the NRL ladder this Saturday afternoon in Bundaberg. Sammy, you know where Bundaberg is?
Bundaberg is in Queensland.
You know where? Like, can you give us a bit of a guide? Where in Queensland?
Did you say Queensland? It's, I should know this, actually. The Honey Badger, Nick Cummins, is from Bundaberg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I should know this, but I don't.
Well, it's between the sunny coast and Mackay.
Oh, okay. That's north.
If you go in the middle of there, then you'll find Bundaberg. but the Dolphins on the edge of the top eight, only ahead of the Dragons by four and against, and the Bulldogs chasing down the Sharks and the Roosters for a top four finish. I think the key matchup in this one is Fiji and Viliami Kikau. He goes up against Tongan Felice Kafusi, mate, plenty of experience between the two players. Viliami only playing his 150th NRL game last week, and I think Felice is close to or well over 200. So looking forward to those two getting after it. And on the same evening, we will see the Cowboys at 7th place take on the Canberra Raiders, 11th on the NRL ladder in North Queensland. After losing to the Broncos, the Cowboys will look for a good comeback to lock themselves in the top eight, and the Raiders will look to keep their finals hopes alive, two wins out of the eight. So another key matchup, I think this one I went to the bench where Thomas Mikaele, he comes off the bench for the Cowboys. Caught up with him in Townsville. Geez, he's looking big. He's playing some good footy. You know, just that impact that he brings off the bench. And then for the Raiders, Ata Mariota, born in Apia, Samoa. He comes off the bench, only 22 years old, and he will be getting after the Cowboys for the Raiders.
So you said the Raiders are 11th, are they? It's still a shot?
Sorry, the Raiders are 12th. But only by four and against, they sit on 24 points, and the Dolphins are on eight. They're at the eighth place on 26 points. So there's Knights, Broncos, Dragons, Dolphins, and the Raiders who are on 24, 26. And in other NRL news, there is a fair few signings that have happened for our Nigerian players. Jarrell Skelton. He will be joining the Tigers next season. Jarrell Skelton, ex-rugby union player?
Oh, I don't know.
The winger?
No, I heard he was. No opportunity there. He killed it in his debut, didn't he? Scored a try.
Speaking of Bulldogs, Lipoi Hopoi, he has re-signed a deal, two-year deal for the Dogs. He'll be remaining at his junior club, the Bulldogs. And a couple of other ones, Valentine Holmes. Will be leaving the Cowboys. He'll be going to the Dragons, joining Shane Flanagan, his old head coach from the Cronulla Sharks.
Is that as of next year he's going? So this is last season at the Cowboys.
So he has been released from his contract and he'll be joining the Dragons on a three-year deal. Yeah.
That's massive.
And then we've got Blaze, another huge bit of news, Blaze Talangi. Reported. Is it announced? It's announced.
Yeah, it was reported a few weeks ago. Now he's 10-day cooling off period.
Blaze Talangi will be leaving the Parramatta Eels and heading to the foot of the mountains, Penrith Panthers.
His brother apparently is going there with him. He's a freak. Goes to Westfield Sports. a young gun. Apparently, he'll be going there with his brother. That's what I'm hearing.
So remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia.
Now we're going to shift gears and go into rugby union. We'll start off with the Wallaby news. Marika Korembete is back for the Wallabies. He comes into the starting lineup because of the injury to Filippo Dangunu. He comes out with a broken leg. Another Fijian will make his debut for the Wallabies. Seru Uru, he comes off the bench. I think he'll add a lot of punch around line-out time and just his ball carries around the field. I think they'll need some of those late offloads, which he's very, very good at, just to get him behind the South African defence and that massive pack. Man, they're huge too. Have you ever stood up next to
the
Springboks before?
Yeah, every second week.
What do you mean? Just in general.
Where would I and when would I ever stand next to the Springboks?
No, just in your time in England, because you talk about, you know, hanging out with Lima.
In England, where does South Africa attach to England, mate?
The South African players. Well, you know what? You've been a jerk since you come back. Where's Will? Where's Will Hopewate? Bring you back. Even bring your cousin back. I'm off you. But
that's
anyway.
Like me saying, all right, have you ever stood next to the Kiwis boys?
Yeah, heaps of times.
Sorry, the England Rugby League players.
I did when I played Aussie 20s against them.
No, you didn't.
See? You know
League
what?
Players.
Yeah. I didn't play League 20s, that's for sure. Anyway, let's just move on. That was going nowhere. But hopefully the Wallabies can do something good there against the over in Perth. We also see the Pacific Nation Cup squad. No Duncan Payawa, no Nigel R. Wong for Samoa. Looks like they haven't been released from their French clubs. And we see for Tonga, no Adam Coleman. He'll be staying with his French club. And a guest of the show, my cousin, Patrick Pellegrini, he has flown over. So he joins the Ikaletahi team for Tonga, which is great news for him and our family. And Fiji, mate, they look outstanding. They look strong. They've included their seven stars, Yosefo Masi and Celestino Ravutamanda. They come back into the fold, and Ikane Vere has just been announced as their captain as well for the Flying Fijians for the Pacific Nations Cup. So out of all the teams, especially, you know, but out of the three, Fiji by far look the strongest, and I think they're going to be the red hot favourites come the 23rd of August.
What else you got for us, Sammy?
Yeah, the Wallaroos squad, they went into camp for the last 4 days. And we saw Sarah Naigama is back in the squad.
Is she back?
Yeah, she's back in the squad.
Oh, about time. Jeez, she's been carrying that bottom lip around Everest, sulking.
Oh, gravel feet, eh? She's been kicking stones.
No wonder why she's been a bit, like, alive on her socials.
Yeah, that's exactly. Don't ride the highs. Don't ride the lows. Just stay neutral.
Stay neutral, mate.
You'll be sweet. But, yeah, she's back in the squad.
Congratulations.
She said it was a tough camp, and they've got a couple of days off now. Then another squad will get announced later today for them to go back in on Monday. But regardless, there's two competitions for what are you laughing?
So she hasn't been locked in?
No, the initial squad, and then they've got to cut it back down. So well done for making the initial squad and getting back in the fold, not being at home. But if they don't go on their WX15 tour to South Africa, there's another Wallaroos A squad. They're going to Samoa to play against Samoa. So there's two tours going for the Wallaroos. So there'll be a team going to South Africa for that one and another team going to play against Samoa. So we'll keep you up to date when those squads get announced on Monday. Plenty of Nijan faces in the overall squad, but we'll let you know on Monday when those get announced and who it will be going where. And that's all I have for you for rugby union team.
And there's a lot there in both rugby league and rugby union. We'll get a little bit more with Totai Kefu soon, but next up we have our rugby league expert, Sala Tongatuki.
Please show up.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge, Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, she is back, our Fetu Samoan, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, Tigers best and fairest, and the one, the only, Sala Tongatuki. Welcome back, Sala.
Yes.
It is good to have you back here on Nijan Footy Fridays. We have missed you because we've done our best to try and cover the NRLW over the last few weeks. I think we've done an okay job, but nowhere near as good as how you would present the news. So
we had a crack, though, T. We had a crack, and some things worked, some things definitely didn't, but the main event is here. Salah, what have you got for us?
How have you been, Salah? How's the last few weeks been?
Thanks, boys. So good to be back. Sorry I have been MIA, and I've done a lot to cover my work. But, I've been great. Obviously, team results not going well for us, and it's no secret. But I think that doesn't define, who we are as athletes. So I know I've reminded myself that, I'm meant to be where I am. So I'm, quite just enjoying the process and going through it with the team slowly.
Are you finding that you're in that leadership role to try and create the mood and lift the, the younger girls and the less experienced girls to keep up with what's required at training and, these early stages of the season?
Yeah, no, definitely. Now that we've got Kezia Apps out and one of our own youngins, Harmony Crichton. I guess it's obviously brought to our attention that sort of we've got to step up a bit more as those leader heads and just guide the girls as best as we can. And this whole week's been so good so far for us. I'm just really proud of the girls, just considering the losses. We're learning from the mistakes and building on our strengths, but also trying to stay committed to the goal. I reckon we're definitely not discouraged by the losses. That's something we're trying to remind the girls that everyone's writing us off. And I've sort of just... One of the girls, actually, Shire from Brisbane, she ended up just writing this blog in our chat saying that, definitely should be playing for the players we've just lost. That should be feeling them to want to show up a bit more. And it's just so sad that we've lost Kezia, but also an exciting opportunity for players like myself, Christian and Nevada to sort of step up and help Bo. Given that she was co-captain together with hers.
Where do you think, just talking about the Tigers, you girls need improvement looking at the last few games?
To be honest, man, I gotta give a pat on the back to the girl for their effort on the weekend against Roosters, a class out team that just got so much experience in it. But we held them out for 60 minutes before they got their first try. So I think the girls, we've been speaking that we need to stick to our principles and trust our systems, stop worrying about how other teams are playing. We do have some players who do tend to be distracted with what's going on the outside, but we sort of need to just focus on our game. And something we've struggled with is that we go into halftime up and then we come into the second half and we just let them just troll over us. So we need to play for the full 70. But I think to break that down, we just need to focus on one half at a time. That's the kind of mindset. I feel like we're sort of casual a bit in halftime, and now that we reflect on it, we know that we can definitely be that team. We know our style of footy is quite unique, but we won't be able to do it if we're constantly getting, given penalties and making errors and that. If we can limit them and get our completion rate up to at least 80% average, we should be in a good chance to, pile up some points, because we haven't been actually, and our for and against is very, very low. Obviously, I know we're saying it's don't write us off yet, but there's a lot of work for us to do as well, and we just need to stick and know how to stay in the grind. That's the cycle of pressure like footy is, you just want to complete. Not every set needs to be a try. I think we were trying to gun for a try every time we got down into our good boy, but that's definitely not the grind. It's a 70-minute game. It's anyone's game.
So, very well said. And I feel like, all it takes is just one win, builds a bit of momentum, builds a bit of confidence, and you never know where the season will end up. So, rooting for you girls. And
thank you.
All the best this week, but looking forward to the rest of the NRLW. What games are you looking forward to watching and why?
I'm excited for the Raiders and Broncos. They're both sitting 6th and 7th, and that's quite safe, obviously, given that we're still early in the season. Broncos have named the same team to play the Raiders, and they'll be coming into this game very confident after their big win against the Titans last weekend. We saw the Broncos duo, Tasman Rapana and Mela Hufanga, run amok on their left edge. And I reckon no doubt Raiders will be looking to control that as best as they can come Saturday. And, like, in my opinion, Raiders are definitely a top four team. Their game against Sharks was just not their style of footy, but they were up 12-0 at halftime and they let it slip away in the second half. I reckon currently the team, they just need to battle it. Like, they're similar to us. They just need to stay in the grind and, you know, do it for the full 70. Because when the Raiders played Tigers, first half they smashed it by piling so much points on us. And then second half, like, it's like they thought the job was done when it wasn't. But regardless, I think Raiders will just need to focus on one half at a time, like I mentioned earlier, and just put some pressure on the Broncos' spine and probably complete their sets as well. Now that they've got Stacey Waka in there, it's quite dangerous combining their back line. And some Asian players I would look out for is Uppy Nichols, like, for the Raiders, fullback.
Yep.
I think she's the most underrated player. She's so safe under the high balls. I know the game against Sharks wasn't her best in the front. Like, she obviously only made, like, one tackle break, whereas game one and two she averaged 5 tackle breaks. If she can inject herself a little bit more in their attack, that will help boost the Raiders go forward. Melaire, who fung our 4 tries. Like,
what a beast, eh?
Bro, I don't even know what else, like, this girl can do. 4 tries, 200-plus metre runs and 10 tackle breaks. Like, having someone like that, that's definitely confident and powerful for the Broncos. And, they're just looking dangerous right now. Even with Stacey on debut, she did 7 tackle breaks, 1 line break and 146 run metres. Like, no surprise there. We knew she was going to be something big for the Broncos, and she displayed that on the weekend. And I like that she didn't go away from her sevens kind of style of playing as well. She looks so strong, like, just hitting it up the middle. But I reckon a good challenge for the Broncos in that back line would probably be Mackenzie Wiki for Raiders. She's averaged 129 run metres so far in a season. And on the weekend, she produced a quality performance in a losing side for them. 2 try assists, 1 line break and 138 run metres. That, to me, is, like, work rate really high. I reckon she'll have a really good battle against Mellor. And, sorry, in the middle, I can't leave that one out. There's so many players I could name right now, but I'm looking forward to Jasmine Fungavini and Samaima up in the locks. If you take it back to last year's test match, the Kiwi Ferns and the Gillaroos, and the Kiwi Ferns actually beat Gillers, Jasmine was actually the player that was involved in almost everything, and there was a highlight just made up of her from that game. She just keeps going, and it's very similar to Samaima. She'll probably be the one to challenge her as well. But Maima's played every game. She's a beast as well. Like, played every game full, 70 minutes in the middle, and she's averaging 195 metres. I'm not surprised there. Maima's obviously didn't play any Origin this year, but she's taken a right decision to have surgery and recover as best she can. She's been playing the last couple of NRLW seasons with niggles. They're quite serious ones too, so... I'm excited to see that middle battle there. And even just players off the bench, you got Seriana Nai Tokatoka, Fijian off for the Raiders bench, and Tafito Lafaile off the Broncos. Both very different in their skill set, but Seriana, we call her Sere, and in my opinion, she's probably got one of the skill, like, smooth footwork. Just so unpredictable, and you just can't give her time, you know, space. She's great with ball in hand, and you got to be careful when you're carrying the ball and she's defending because she loves a one-on-one strip.
Jeez,
hopefully that's a good tip for the Broncos.
There's plenty of Nijan stars, eh?
Heaps. They just
right
named
across,
like,
NRW. It was like a whole team.
Whole team there.
And I will note
that was a good game, yeah.
I will note that you mentioned a couple of Cook Island players there, and Uppy Nichols and Mackenzie Wiki. So if you are listening, girls, the Cook Island women's team will be playing in the PAC Champs at the end of the season. Hopefully, we'll see you girls in the green, yellow, and white jersey.
Oh,
Salah,
that's
what,
so good.
What other games? What other game are you looking forward to watching?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to also the Sharks. Obviously, they're at the top of the ladder, and the Knights.
Are they at the top?
Yeah, 3 from 3.
Yeah.
They're at the top. Are they the real deal, Salah? Are they the real deal?
Oh, to be honest, definitely. I think they have a chance, eh? Like, they're just – Sharks have been so impressive to open their season. Like, they've gone 3 from 3. And I reckon because they've obviously popped a lot of losses last season, and it put them at the bottom, but – I think like they've gone and just really worked. They know that they're definitely a top four team, but they've gone and done all the work in the preseason. And I've obviously been fortunate enough to be around Tiana Pinatani and Ellie Johnson and Emma Tonegado in Origin camps, and hearing every time we came back, and because they were obviously going back and forth in within preseason time, and they were just saying how much they were getting like brutally bashed in their preseason, the girls and that. But they, I think his name's Vaughn, the S&C. So he actually was in some of the Origin camps of us girls, and he was just taking a lot of notes and training tips from our S&C that we had for Origin, because he done really good. He was really good for us, and we've seen how much fitter we got within the 8-week block that we got to spend with him. And Vaughn's definitely taken a lot from that, and it's obviously transferred into the Cronulla girls' fitness, and it's showing. Obviously, they've got the probably most skillful underrated players as well, but when you're fit, man, you can be on that field for longer and show a bit of, you know, a lot of that glimpse of talent that the girls have as well. But, yeah, no, Cronulla have definitely proven to not have a give-up attitude. They've shown that in the last two games, down at halftime, but I was come back firing the second half. And I don't know whatever Tony's saying to the girls in the sheds or at training, but whatever he's saying to them, it's working well for them. I just felt with Dragon, they done well to keep Tamika Upton quiet. They didn't give much room for her and young Jessie to sort of play their style. They normally connect really well and bring a lot of points for their team. But, yeah, definitely I think if Tamika can find Jessie or other way around, I think they'll be really good in this matchup against the Sharks girls, especially with Caitlin Johnson being ruled out last week. The fold pack, like they've had to adjust, I think, more mentally in their game against Dragons. Having someone like Caitlin sideline, I reckon I can be upsetting in the middle. Like I'd be like freaking out knowing that the person that leads the pack is out. But also it was nice to see the girls and that, like Rima Butler, Kayla Rumniak and that just sort of step up and fill in her shoes, quite big as well. But, yeah, they've done really well. But, yeah, there's definitely someone that's been really good for me in the Sharks has been Brooke Anderson. Her effort areas, they've been recognised, and that's probably why she's also in the run for the Dally M. If you keep an eye on her this weekend, she works with, like, relentlessly from the marker. She ties in really well, and just her technique under the ball, like when she's tackling, I reckon she'll be good against Hannah Southfield, quite similar. They'll be good to go head to head on this, but yeah, she's just like that player that's just working really hard for her team, and it's making it a lot easier for them as well.
Out of all the teams you've played so far, before we wrap things up, who's been the toughest?
I'd say Titans. I know that obviously Broncos put them on show last weekend, but when we were playing them, it's sort of hard because, like, the first game we had against Raiders, that was just not us, and we sort of just scrapped that and said we were just so disappointed. But when we were going into that game against Titans, we knew we wanted to fix a lot, and as we were trying to fix on, you know, those little things, we also had to try and stay in the game and the grind and sort of find our way through. But definitely the Titans. They're just a really tough team. Their middle pack's great. Like, you've got Shannon Maddow there and just Jess Elliston, but also Georgia Hale. I think she's such an incredible player, Georgia Hale. Would love to play beside her one day, but not going to. Just her work rate. Like, I think she's topped the most tackle count in NRW in a single game. And if I'm not wrong, I think it's like 65 she did, or 61.
In one game?
It's very hard.
One game?
In one game. That, I think that was the game on the weekend that just went by.
Oh, obviously, was it,
Broncos had the ball in hand for so long that Titans were just literally tackling, and G ended up having 61 or 65. She definitely made 61, that many.
Yeah.
She's so fit. I don't know.
Sounds
you've got
like the opposite to T's stats when he was playing.
My PB was 67 actually in Super League.
Are they those ones where someone's already made the tackle and you
jump on top?
You jump on top and that gets counted as a tackle.
That is the one. As long as we slow the ruck down and it's a point on my tackle stat sheet, and it's done. But
yeah,
Gold Coast Titans, the team to look out for. Thank you very much for your time this week, Sulla. We do appreciate your expertise and we wish you best this weekend. Yeah. We hope that you get off to a good start. Yeah, building some momentum for the Tigers. So go get them.
Yeah, I think T's going to tip against you too. He was telling me before, he goes,
that's okay.
So prove him wrong, please. Prove him wrong. If he does, I don't know if he is, but he said he was leaning to if he didn't show up, it was 100% he was going to tip against you. But because you're here, he's 50-50.
I still wish you play well. Okay. All the best, Sulla. Thank you for joining us.
Take care, Sulla. Later.
Thanks, boys.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Culture Shock, where we navigate the seas and bring something interesting for you, our listener. Last week, I took us to Niue. Sammy, what did I say? What did I give you about Niue?
Oh, the internet.
Yes, the internet.
Free Wi-Fi, 2003.
World's first Wi-Fi nation. Great work. So your memory's getting better.
Was it 2003? It was 2003.
It was in 2003. Great work, Sammy.
I don't know why my brain remembers like probably the most useless bits of information. Not saying new, that's useless bits, but you know, ask me for something actually that's really going to impact my life. Can't remember it.
Well, this week we're off to Tokelau.
Yes, Tokelau. The Tokelau people, beautiful place from what I Googled. It does look beautiful. Hey, one thing that's probably common around our Pacific Island cultures is, it's special around like deaths, marriages, births and all those special occasions where it's
the ceremonies.
The ceremonies.
Yep.
One thing that I found interesting around the Tokelau is just around their deaths, you know, funerals.
Yep.
They said traditionally a dying Tokelau would have a special last meal of, can you guess? I'm just going to give you one guess. If you're a Tokelauan, what do you think they would be eating for their last meal?
Waka.
No, a turtle.
Oh, a turtle.
A turtle, apparently. So that's traditionally a dying Tokelauan would have a special last meal of a turtle, and the permission would be for this last meal, they would have to sort it from the elders, and they would have that as their last meal. And
are you talking about the family and friends at the funeral?
The person. Like, just say if it was...
So the person's passed away and...
Actually, that's a good question.
I'm like, how do you have your last meal knowing it's your last meal?
Well, I guess it could be of cancer like or something like that, and you're just on your deathbed and you still get a last meal.
But then what if...
What means if you can't eat?
How many more meals does that person get to have for the rest of their life?
I don't know. I was just going off the... apparently...
You know what? I'm assuming it would be the last meal
with the family?
With the family and friends.
You've stumped me on it a little bit, T, but there's also no airport there. So the only way to get to Tokelau, you've got to fly to Samoa and get a boat from Samoa.
Yeah,
Plan B. Thanks for stumping me on that, T. Perfect, but we're going to go to... Let's just go back to PNG where our listeners are. Perfect.
Yeah,
can you
I'll
go
bring
there
you
for
to
us?
PNG next week. Now let's head over to our rugby expert, Todd Taikefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Taikefu!
With Todd Taikefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby legend, Queensland Reds legend, and former Ikaletahi legend of a coach, Totai Kefu, just an all-round legend.
What a legend, man.
What a legend. Apparently a good breakdancer as well. Is that true, Kef? Represent Tonga for the next Olympics?
I might put my name down next time. 4 years. Where is it? Oh, it's in Australia?
No, it's in LA, mate. Australia's
oh, is it?
2032.
Yeah, 8 years, oh, 8 years away.
You might be a bit old for the Brisbane one in the homecoming. But,
yeah, I think so.
Let's see how we go. Hey, let's get into the rugby union stuff. Wallabies first up. I don't think the result was a big surprise, but I remember you mentioned last week you thought it was going to be a bit closer than that. What were your initial thoughts in that game?
Yeah, look, I think from their point of view, I think they'd be very disappointed. I attended the game. Great atmosphere, by the way. Unbelievable. Full stadium. And to tell you the truth, there's probably more Springbok fans than there were Australian fans. They've just come out of the woodwork. But really good vibe around the stadium. It was awesome. Afternoon game. First time it's been an afternoon game in a long time. But, look, I think watching the game, mate, I got the feeling that the Springboks, they were in second gear. You know, I thought they were just probably playing around with us. And, you know, 21-0 at half time, it could have gone to 40-50. I think they probably slowed up a bit. But, look, I think from the Wallabies' point of view, you know, tough game against probably the world champions. I think they'd be very disappointed. I certainly would be. But, you know, as we said before the game, when we previewed the game, I mean, no expectations. Joe and the coaching staff still kind of experimenting with some selections, seeing how different players played, you know, against the best team in the world. You know, he's made some changes this week, so he's still figuring out who's going to be best aligned or best suited to this Wallaby team moving forward.
Yeah, I know the result didn't go our way, but do you think there are any positives that Joe could take away from the game?
Look, I think at times we defended really well. You know, the Springboks were really hammering our line a heap of times, and we repelled some of those. I think that's a positive. You know, the scoreboard probably you know, wasn't good, and like I said, you know, Springboks have come off those two bloody good test matches against the Irish, and they were of high quality, high standard. You know, it looked like they were cruising out there during Saturday afternoon. But look, there's some positives. I thought, you know, Paisami and Ikitau, looks like Joe's going to go with that centre pairing moving forward. You know, I'm not too sure with the forward pack. I think we need more ball runners. You know, I certainly think Harry Wilson, Rob Valentini did okay. You know, we really miss Fraser McWright. I really think we miss his impact in and around the ball and just his all footballing ability. You know, he can do everything. I think we've got to seriously look at maybe Lungi Gleeson coming off the bench, just to add more ball runners.
Yeah, you've been a big fan of Lungi Gleeson and it coming up against the South African pack. You're looking to try and bend that line to get some momentum. But I love the way you say that the way the Wallabies fronted up in defence. It looked like they definitely had the mindset to front up, be physical in that contest against the South Africans. But there's just other layers to the game that we fell short in. And I felt one of those layers was in attack. Noah Lolasio, yeah, Samoan, 5'8 for the Wallabies. He's gone with him again, Joe Schmidt. Do you put it down to him not being able to probably play his game because we're just not getting that momentum you're talking about in attack from our ball carriers?
Yeah, look, I think, look, the profile of any Australian team is we're tough, we're gritty, we'll defend all day, and we're in there, you know, doing our best, winning collisions, trying to do all that stuff. The attack side's going to take some time, and I think Noah, although, you know, I think he'd be disappointed with his game, I think, you know, there might be some conversations that's already been had between Joe and himself and maybe just trusting him. Look, you're going to be the 5'8 for me. We're going to invest in you. So, you know, don't worry. You know, if you have a bad game here and there, let's build into it. Like I said, and we've always said when we previewed this game, it's probably the tour at the end of the year, next year and the year after that, where he really wants to see some results. Yeah, look, I think it's going to take time for him. You know, they've changed the team again, and his half-partner, Nick White, comes into the starting team this week. So they've had some history together. The centre pairing stays the same. Corey Beattie comes back, which is awesome. I mean, he's world-class. He needs to I thought he probably should have played last week, but they gave him a week off. He's back. I think he's going to definitely add some sting. Back row stays the same. They've changed the front row. Look, I'm a big fan of Angus Bell. I think he's going to add some much-needed punch around the rucks and the set piece.
That's the one, mate. Big Korobiti, ex-rugby league superstar, coming to help out the boys. Hey, I was just having to think about you going to the games and, you know, the way that I watch the game, sometimes I get confused on watching it like a fan or watching it like a coach, and you get caught up in watching the technical side of the game. When you go to these games, do you watch it as a ex-player you know, looking at the techniques, looking at that forward battle, or are you just appreciating the game and watching it as a fan?
Look, bloody good question, T. You know what? I watch the game now as a coach. It's hard for me to watch it as a fan. Not only as a coach, I watch to see if there's any new practices. You know, watch how they do things, how they come about, attacking patterns, even defensive policies and all that kind of. There's a lot of stuff, policies around defense and attack that are quite similar, but it's just that if you look at the new attacking coach for the Springboks, it's
Tony Brown.
Tony Brown, unbelievable.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
Holland,
smartest coach in the legend. World. Yeah, smartest coach in the world.
Fantastic attack coach. So I was really looking forward to seeing what South Africa threw up at the Wallabies, and he's got them playing with a lot more width, I think, instead of the crash bash kind of profile that they've been to. So I was really looking forward to that. But that was a good question. Mate, I watch all games now as a coach and see what I can steal off other coaches.
Yes. What's the biggest change you think from when you were playing the game to how the game is played now?
Oh, look, I think, well, players are much more fitter and I think skillful now. So trying to use the width a lot more. So trying to move the ball a lot more. I think that's the biggest thing that that I can see.
Mm.
Kev doesn't watch the game when he goes to, you know, the stadiums, because he's in all the corporate suites. Or the he's in there.
Free bar,
shakes the hand. He's got the golden handshake, the golden wave, and then he collects his little envelope at the vet. Thanks for coming, Kev, appreciate it. Yeah, same time.
Do
again
you wear
next
the
year.
Wallabies cap? You know,
no, he's a scarf, baby. You know, those
the old scarf and shiny boots.
Hey, there's only, the RMs. There's only so much. There's only so much I can show that try.
Well, mate, we're going to have to keep showing because it's the only time we've won it. So it's going to get replayed until we have another match winner for the Bledisloe at some stage. But what are your expectations for Perth in this one? Seru Eru comes in as well for his debut off the bench. Marika Korembete, you know, he comes in the side. Can we see a better result, or do you think the South Africans are just going to have another home game in in Perth, because there is a bunch of South Africans over there?
Oh, there's a heap, isn't it? It's a little mini Johannesburg, I think. but look, Seru Eru deserves his spot. I think he can add some impact off the bench. Really like Max Jorgensen. He's had a few false starts over the last couple of years, but I watched him train last week. He's a bloody elite athlete, unbelievable X factor. So looking forward to him and Korembete maybe feeding off each other, and Tom Wright there at fullback. Look, I think the Springboks have made 10 changes, so I certainly think we can be better. I definitely think we'll improve from last week. We've learnt a lot. They would have done all their learnings this week. I think it's going to be a much closer performance.
Man, you talk about 10 changes, and I love talking about combined caps in total teams. On the bench for the Springboks, they have a combined of 400 caps, so sitting on the bench, so plenty of experience as well for them to come on. So hopefully the Wallabies can do a lot better. Let's move our attention to the Pacific Nations Cup. The team lists and the squads have been announced. I saw some players, especially the ones in France, not being available for selections, besides, you know, say, Ben Tamifuna and the captain for Samoa. Just, I forgot his name for 2 seconds here.
Lima Sopoanga.
No, he left ages ago. Theo McFarlane, sorry, just went away from here. Theo McFarlane, he still gets to stay even though he's at Saracens. You know, when you were coaching Tonga, what were those conversations like around trying to keep your players and keep your best team playing in the Pacific Nations Cup as opposed to the big French clubs or the English clubs saying, nah, mate, they're staying here?
Yeah, look, I think we talked about this in parts a couple of weeks ago. The calendar doesn't really suit these Pacific Nations Cups. It all goes back to the relationship the coach has with the player and the clubs. Now, Ben Tamifuna, he's always, because he's been a a regular at his club for a long time. He's always had a good relationship with the coach there. I've had a good relationship with Ben and the coach. So we've always had deals in the background that if there were games available for him to come, he would always come. And the club and the CEO would let him. So they're just built on really good relationships between Tonga's head coach, myself, and the club that he was at. Now, it's always up to the player whether they want to come or not. And some players have their contracts structured differently. So if you do leave the club, you'll miss out on payments, and that's fine. And sometimes players just don't want to do that, and that's totally fine. So Ben, if Ben's in this Ikalitahi squad, he probably would be getting paid by the club at the while he's away. So he'd be losing money. There's no doubt he would be losing money. Some other clubs, some other players, their contracts are structured differently. They may be able to get paid coming to play for Tonga. But look, just looking at the squad now, yeah, it's probably not the strongest squad. You know, there's a couple of frontliners there. You know, we mentioned Ben Fatulipaia, the Inisi boys. They've chosen to miss their NPC. So I'm not too sure what's happening with their contract at North Harbour. I have a feeling they probably won't get paid. So they're losing. They'll be losing money as well, Sam.
Man, it's the ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? When you play for your tiny island and your family and your country, just to put some things on hold, just so you can represent you know, your nation like that and coming back. And like there's regulation 9, I think, in their contracts that where you have to be released for club duties. But yeah, I didn't realize, I guess, around that as well, there's some other structures to it where it says, well, yeah, technically we can let you go, but we're not going to pay you. So
regulation 9.2, that one was.
Yes, yeah, section 4, paragraph 10 in the Constitution.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, it's also up to the player. If the player wants to go, then good on him. But, you know, you've got to build a program that's really attractive for the player to go. And you know, normally I find around that time they're in the middle of their season, and some of the players just want to go because they just want to get out. That French season is long and monotonous, mate. It's cold. It's, you know, so they're happy to leave camp for 4 or 5 weeks and just go join the Ikalitahi team. But if it's not a good program, they can easily just decide not to come.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, hopefully it's still a good product for the teams and they do really well, minus a few of their big names. Hey, before I let you go, I saw that your jersey's up for auction. You did a nice little donation to an under-16s touring team. Is that right?
Yeah. So my Tongan brother in Caboolture, Davita Mailau, unbelievable player. Probably should have played for the All Blacks, I reckon, Davita. Anyway, I coached him for the Ikalitahi team. He's taken an under-16 Caboolture team away to New Zealand. So I've donated an old jersey, Wallaby jersey, for him to auction off or raffle off and hopefully raise some money for the boys.
Mate, that's going to pay for the whole tour, that thing. It's a, what's that, 100 grand you reckon Kef will go for?
Well, if it went for that much, I'd bloody keep it. no, look, mate, I hope it does. You know, whatever we can do to help our little our boys to get over there and reduce their costs.
Yeah, perfect. My son's birthday's coming up too, so I'll hit you up for a jersey. No, I'm joking. Hey, Kef, as always, we really appreciate your time. Look forward to having you on next week and we can dissect the Pacific Nations Cup, Fiji, Samoa and Tonga. Looking forward to that one when that kicks off.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Professor Paulo, delivering the goods. He will be asking us a question each week here on Nisian Footy Fridays, and we will keep a score. The loser at the end of the season has to pay for a fancy lunch. Sammy, you're in the lead by 0.5. So 11 plays 10.5.
Oh, yes.
This one's closest to
family ties in rugby union. When you think of
brothers Artie and Julian Sevilla, Mike and Alan Alaotoa, Lima and Tupou Sapawanga. It doesn't get any bigger in rugby union than the Tuolangi brothers. Please tell me how many of the brothers have played Test football.
Great question.
That is a good question. I'm going to go.
That is a great question. How many brothers are there in total?
Oh, that's even. I think they've got more than the Hopewatas, actually.
Have you seen that photo that's gone viral of them?
Yes,
and they all
of them
look
yep.
thick, man, and looks scary. I would hate to play them at any kind of level, but
I'm going to go.
I'll let you go first.
I'm going to go six.
Six?
Yeah, I
six
think
of them.
Six of them. It might even be eight, but I think it might be six.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a couple of younger ones. I think it's six.
So you reckon it could be more?
I reckon it could be more.
Because I was going to go five.
We'll go five then. It's so closest to.
I'll go seven then.
The answer to that question is six. Freddie, Alasanga, Henry, Sinelli, and Andy have all represented Samoa, and the youngest, Manu, played for England.
Oh, on the button.
Was that six that he named? I reckon he's got someone wrong, eh?
Well, history has proven that when it comes to family ties, Seth hasn't really got them right. But I'm going to take the win anyway, right on the money, six. So that increases my lead, T. Perfect.
All right, let's go to knockout tipping.
Oh, you want to move on that quick?
Yep. Let's get to it.
Knockout tipping time.
I'll let you do the honours and explain to our listeners what this
is. Yes, this is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the Rugby League and NRLW Worlds this time, not Rugby Union, until we get to the Pacific Nations Cup. I was 2 out of 2 last week, T, so I don't have the Drake effect, like you keep alluding to, every time I choose a team and they lose. So,
well, you did say Tiana would play fullback. Would you have picked Sharkies if you knew that she was playing centre?
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But anyway, I got it right. So that's irrelevant, that that statement. But this week, who are you going in the NRLW?
NRLW, I'm going with the Eels. I know we just spoke to
Stella. So who are they playing?
They are playing Stella and the Tigers.
Oh, you're sad, dude. you're following your trend from rugby. The NRL, it's the same trend for NRLW.
Well, funny you say that. In the NRL, I'm going the Bunnies who will be taking on the Tigers. So whoever plays the Tigers this week, that's who I'm picking. The Eels in NRLW and the Bunnies in the NRL.
It's going to be a sad Monday at Concord, I think. Both teams will go down. Well, awesome. I'm going to go the Broncos in this one.
Broncos are playing the Raiders.
Yes, they are. In Brisbane.
In Brisbane.
I saw Mele Hufanga, another 4 tries. Shot, Mele.
We talked her up last Friday, and she absolutely killed it.
She killed it. Okay, so there are our picks for that one. In the NRL, I'm going Manly. Manly over the Warriors at Brookie Oval in front of the Manly faithful. So if they come up, that will take me to 29 if I get both of them, and hopefully you get none because you're on 33. So 33 plays 27 so far. I need to get every single one right.
Hey, before we leave, though.
What have you got?
These great badges of our faces on them. So if you're still listening to our show, give us a message via Instagram and we'll send them out to you.
At SamWikes4.
Because we've got all ones at @T_Rona, Aruna, because we've got 3,000 of these badges.
Yes. Jeez, well, I've got an ordinary head on there. But anyway, that's our time up for another Nisian Footy Friday. It is great to have you back, T. Not too long away till we see you on our Mondays again.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, beautiful. And remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nisian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. You got Tupo Supuanga Monday?
Yes, we do, you cuz.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.